We're back on WPTF, I think that's what we're doing here. Am I right?
Yes.
Can I take a vote? Everybody agree that that's what we're doing?
I'm in favor.
Okay, we're for us to continue.
We're all about right. to talk about blueberries, I think.
Oh, well, yeah.
No, we're going to talk about the derivations of Ilia Mazaneri. By the way, Rufus was pretty close on the spelling, but you didn't have the E-L at the first. It's E-L-E-E-M-O-S-Y-N-A-R-Y. So, Ilia Mazaneri.
Yes.
Charitable, supported by charity. I want everybody listening today to use that in a sentence. Now, Paul has been waiting a while. Paul, something about Cliff Notes. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
We're doing well. Are you going to use Ilia Mazaneri in Wendell today?
I don't think so.
Well, just write it down and give it a try today.
Yeah, I will.
So did you use Cliff Notes too?
Well, you know what? I didn't really, but I did meet the guy who invented them.
Oh, well, you and Rufus. How about that?
Yeah.
Small world.
And I was asking, I said, man, well, how did you ever come up with that idea? And he said, well, to make a long story short.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, Richard, that sounds like a Richard joke.
That's right.
That's good, Paul.
Oh, no.
Hey, well, Happy New Year, everybody.
So what about your winter garden?
Oh, I'm rebuilding some raised beds, and I just went to the dump to get rid of the old wood, and they were closed. They wouldn't accept any construction debris, so I still got a pickup truck full of 2x12.
So what kind of wood do you use?
I just bought some just regular old framing 2x12s, not treated, and I've got them sitting there ready to go, but I just got the old stuff all removed, and that'll be the project for next week.
How long did it last, the old wood?
Oh, it's been there for 15 years at least.
Good. That's very good.
And that was that was untreated wood?
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's a good deal.
And actually, four of them are still intact. I just I have six, and there's two of them that just kind of started to fall apart at the corners.
Did you do any kind of, I mean, did you line them with plastic or paint them or anything like that?
Nope.
Nice.
Nope.
Well, that's good. It's just pine?
I think it's fir, actually.
Oh, okay.
But just regular construction grade.
Regular, construction lumber.
Yeah.
2x12.
Nice. That's you certainly got your money's worth out of that.
Yeah.
I hope you bought the same stuff.
Well, I don't have any reservations about using treated wood in a raised bed, but a lot of people do, and I respect that. And it's good to know that you can get a good lifespan.
Yeah, 15 years is so.
Well, I need to go down and dig out in Carlton's barn. He's got a whole barn full of big lumber that he cut off of pine trees and things. It's rough. If it'll last that long, that's great to know.
And Paul, did you say you use 2x12s?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's probably a factor, because a lot of people might use 2x6s or 2x8s, and I bet those would not last quite as long.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe a good point.
Yeah.
Great.
How about that? So what are you gonna start growing when you build your next one? What are you going to grow this spring?
I haven't even started to think about that, but I am going to buy my tomatoes from Gerald this year because I was not thrilled with how last year went. So,
all right.
But I think everybody had a tough year with tomatoes, you know, last year. So.
Yeah, Gerald has had tough years too. So I mean, it's just Craig LaHoulier seems to be the only person I know who doesn't seem to have problems.
Well,
with
you know what? You know, Charlotte Glenn wrote a nice article. She's the statewide Master Gardener coordinator, and she wrote an article several years ago about tomatoes. And her advice is hedge your bets and plant multiple cultivars.
Yeah.
So you know, plant your favorite, but then plant the smaller hybrid cultivars are a little bit more reliable than like the big sandwich.
Yeah, certainly the tiny ones.
And the cherry ones are great.
Even I can grow those.
Yeah, so plant 2, 3, 4 different cultivars, and, you know, it's kind of like your retirement portfolio. You don't want to put everything in one stock. So.
Right.
There you go.
All right, well, good luck. Report back to us. Happy New Year, Paul.
I will.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Ely Amazonary. Remember that today.
All right, so we got a fruit and nut tree pruning workshop on January 25th in Clayton. That's at the NC State Research Station there on US 70, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. That's probably being conducted by the illustrious Dr. Mike Parker, who is really the statewide and probably the Southeast expert on fruit production.
Right.
I mean, he's
everybody in the industry knows Mike Parker.
And he is his teaching style is very engaging. I mean, entertaining. He's just a great, great teacher. And
did you have him as a teacher?
I did not, but I've been to many of his pruning. See, I didn't study horticulture.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Forestry?
Agronomy.
Agronomy.
Crop science.
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's January 25th. It's posted on the Cooperative Extension website, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. You definitely want to go to that if you have any interest in fruit trees. And then Johnny Coley, extension agent and Granville person, is doing a blueberry workshop, which, gosh, everybody needs to grow blueberry. I mean, everybody needs to grow blueberries.
No-brainer, right?
Yeah.
We were heading down to the beach spent several days during Christmas vacation and went down on 53, Highway 53.
That's
Onslow County, and they're huge blueberry farms there.
Yeah.
They look good right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They have good leaf color, too.
Yeah.
Some of them do.
But Johnny's workshop is February 1st, 1 to 3 in Oxford. It's going to be at somewhere on one of those research farms, one of the tobacco research farms. They do more than just tobacco, but... Yeah, February 1st, 1 to 3 in Oxford. Call the Granville County Extension Service or check their website for all the details.
One of our listeners and a friend of Rufus, Representative Howard Penny of Harnett County, is an agronomist.
Hmm.
So I do remember that. Yeah,
yes.
A really, really good person and a smart man. And I'm sure he's doing well for his county. But an agronomist, that's... That's a real intellectual part of agriculture. I mean, agronomy is not what you think when you go into it.
Boy, you study. You have a lot of soils classes. You got to know chemistry.
Yeah,
of course, most of which I've forgotten. But you know, all the plant nutrients and there's a lot to it.
It really is. So. Is there an agronomy course at State, or I mean, just one course that somebody can take?
If you go into the agronomy program, you're going to start, I'm sure, with agronomy 101.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that? All right.
But as far as something for the public, I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably not. All right. If my voice will hold out, I mean, I feel great. It's just. I guess it's the water. I got liquids over here, but We're going to sound like this the rest of the morning. Now, Richard is with us. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, y'all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And I have a comment about Rufus's Elio. I'm trying to remember the word now.
Eliomazonary.
Oh, Eliomazonary.
As many times as I've repeated that word this morning, Richard.
Distracted.
Well, I stay distracted.
Well, and it reminded me when I heard eel it combined with law, it reminded me of an article I read about in the National Fisherman Magazine. That's the trade journal for commercial fishing. And years ago, they're having a problem with too many poachers using eel pots up in New Jersey. And the court were so backlogged, the judge just said, I'll fix this. I'm going to order the floodgates open and flush all their darn gear downstream. I thought that was a pretty unique solution to it. But getting back to gardening, one thing I learned last year, normally what I'll do in the winter around the roses is I'll put out some dustable sulfur, and that'll take care of a lot of the ground fungal problems. And so I have some spare basil and oregano plants, and I said, well, just out of curiosity, I'll plant them next to the roses, see how that works for companion planting. And it's the best that the Queen Elizabeth roses have ever done.
Mm. Wow.
How about that? That's
what species is that, Elizabeth Rose, Richard?
I'm really sure. They grow fairly tall, but Queen Elizabeth is what the
it's
variety
pink.
Was.
Yeah.
They've been here forever and a day.
Yeah, they're a really that is a very hardy rose. It is beautiful, too, and it smells really good.
Yeah, except for when it's combined with the sulfur by the back door.
Yeah, that the sulfur was not good. But
Phil, what roses do you recommend for somebody who wants the beauty of a rose but doesn't want all the hassle of
Tequila Sunrise?
Yeah,
I have that. It's indestructible. It doesn't have a lot of fragrance. That's the only drawback. But it's a beautiful rose.
And grows tall too.
Yeah,
and it's yellow.
It's yellow and pink and
it turns lots
red.
Of different colors.
It's got several different colors in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Kind of like the, I don't know. Which.
Well, I mean, and there's, you know, there's the climbing roses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to get your hybrid tea look with mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Queen Elizabeth is by far one of the best.
Mm-hmm. Is that a Grandiflora or a tea hybrid?
No, it's a hybrid tea. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Lincoln. Is also a good one. It's a red.
That's a deep red.
It's a really deep red, yeah. And it has a beautiful bud, and it is very hardy. I tell you, I've had some really bad problems with several of my roses. I had a Tropicana rose, which is orange, and my dad never had any problems with it, but the one I've got came out below the graft for some reason, and it's red. Mm. So it reverted back, of course, to one of the parents. But I've had some trouble with that lately, with some of the good some of the better roses. But I love Mr. Lincoln, and I can't really think of a good yellow one right now. But the red and Mr. Lincoln and the pink with Queen Elizabeth, those. I've got a Queen Elizabeth I've never done anything to. I cut it back almost to nothing every year, and it comes out, and it's got the most, all of a sudden you'll smell something, and it's got the most beautiful buds on it. And it's nice.
Yeah. But Tequila Sunrise, that's the first one I...
Oh, yeah, that's...
you used to have one... At the old,
it's
your
down
old
there.
Place.
Yeah, it's down
it's
there.
It's still there?
It's not up at the corner, but it's we moved it.
You moved that big thing? It took a backhoe, I guess, to get it out.
Yeah,
because it was huge. It was really, really big. So it, that's the first one I'd try to find. And I feel, do you still sell them or can you get them?
We don't sell that particular one. There's another one that came out that's very similar to that.
Oh,
and
okay.
It does really well. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, Richard, I think you'd like any of those that we mentioned if you like roses. Although, again, it doesn't have that really rich fragrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I guess Tequila Mockingbird is another version, but it's really a story about a bunch of drunk birds.
Tequila Mockingbird, yeah.
Richard.
I don't know. I think...
That was good.
Richard, you just kind of slip up on us.
Uh-oh.
Joel said it was good. So
it was good.
I do a lot of slip-ups.
That's okay. No.
Especially on moist lawns.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I don't want you to fall. I want you to have a great day, Richard. And you too, I want you to use Ely Imaginary at every chance you get.
All right. And y'all have a great one. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year, Richard.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Bye. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here in WPTF. It's 9:22. We're back on WPTF with Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here, and all of the cold and the pollen in the spring and all of the things you're in the heat during the summer, all the things your car or truck has to put up with. Well, if you just take care of the vehicle like you would take care of your own body, be preemptive, proactive, go to the doctor for your physicals and go to King's Auto Service to help prevent any problems that are going to crop up. Even if you have the most reliable vehicle in the world, you still have to maintain it. And it's so much better than breaking down on the road. And I think if you go to King's, they're going to help you along with that that problem so you won't ever break down on the road. I'm a big believer in proactive, and so is Dean Bailey at King. So no matter what kind of car you have, now they don't work on the European cars, but the Japanese and American-made cars they do at King's Auto Service, and they have since 1946. Dean's uncle started this business way back when in downtown Raleigh, and it's still there. On West Street, 1039, you can get them to replace your wiper blades. You can get them to replace big parts of the engine. They can rebuild the engine or get you an engine that is rebuilt. They can change your oil. They can do anything, and they can check a lot of things, too, like your air filters and all the filters in your car and all the belts and hoses, which are so important, the brakes, they can check those, the tires, and this is all going to help you not break down. And if you have a hybrid vehicle, they have those, they can get those high voltage battery packs for less than the dealer. And they can also check out those big batteries that come with the hybrids. And the hybrids and every other car has the 12 volt battery too. And they can check those. They don't usually last as long, those 12 volt batteries, as they used to, I don't think. But that's because there's so many electronic, so many computers and so forth in cars now. They get worked to death. So get those batteries checked, get your tires, brakes, all of that checked at King's Auto Service. Again, since 1946, 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh and at kingautomotive.net. 919-860-9783. Now, you were showing us off the air this gorgeous rose,
yes.
Climbing rose.
Yes, it's Peggy Morton. And
as opposed to Peggy Clark, which is the Prunus Mume.
The Prunus Mume, right. I always get those two confused. But it's Peggy Morton, and it's actually called the Katrina Rose. It was found in, I can't remember how many feet, but it was underwater, under salt water, and it survived. So it is an absolutely beautiful rose.
So somewhere that flooded.
Right, right. Down in Louisiana, I believe.
Wow.
And it's absolutely beautiful. we've got one on the fence, and it was blooming at the nursery, and it was blooming about two and a half weeks ago. It still had bloom buds on it.
Now, what do you plant these things on? Because the photo you showed me, it was just a big mounding.
Well, it's kind of like
monstrosity.
Well, it's kind of like a Lady Banks,
yeah,
as well.
Well, Rufus planted his in a crepe myrtle tree.
Yeah, but, and you could plant one of these and let it go up into a tree. But it's beautiful on a fence. You couldn't just put it on a small arbor because it gets. But you can cut it back too. I mean, you can keep it pruned back the size that you'd like for it to be, or the shape. They do lots of different shapes. If you can, look online at that one. It's Peggy Martin, and they do all types of
got about 30
shapes
seconds.
With it. It's beautiful.
It is. You have a good fence. Now, Paul, you own a farm out there. You could plant it on a good fence out in the sun. That'd be one pretty thing.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Yeah.
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 Yep. And folks can plant woody ornamentals this time of year.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Sure.
Yes.
You might not want to be going out when it's 20 degrees out. But
yeah.
That's one nice thing about living in North Carolina is you can plant woody ornamentals, all through the winter.
Yep.
All right. More of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead. A little check on news here on WPTF's Weekend Gardener. Still talking about Peggy Martin. Now, Peggy, tell us the story. So this was found, this Peggy Martin, beautiful, gorgeous climbing rose was found in the bayous after
right.
Katrina.
Right. She, this lady had like over 400 roses, and they were all just completely decimated when Katrina came through, as was her home and everything, her whole garden. And she said that it was under salt water for 2 weeks, and she returned back to nothing but black sticks and gray mud. I'm sure all the people in the mountains can understand that.
Right.
And she walked the property. She noticed a leaf, spot of green under at an old shed that had been covered by rambling roses. It was the only living thing. So they got it out. They started doing cuttings on it when it got big enough, and then they named it for her. So it's Peggy Martin, and that's how they got started with that. And it's just it's beautiful. I mean, it's a great rose. It's really strong. So if you have trouble growing roses, get a Peggy Martin.
Now, Herb just sent a photo of a camellia that was at his grandmother's, is at his grandma's, just gorgeous. And he wants to know what type it is. And it's on the tip of my tongue, what I
Professor
think it
Sergeant.
Is.
Professor Sargent.
Professor Sargent.
Yeah.
Professor Sargent. Ann Clapp talked about
that. That ought to thrill Herb, being a professor he is.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, you were talking about some roses a while ago. I don't have one now. Probably my favorite of all hybrid tea roses, the Peace.
Yes.
The Peace Rose.
My dad used to have one of those, and it was, I planted one of those in hopes of having the good luck that my dad had at our house when I was growing up. Those roses were almost as big as a dinner plate sometimes.
Yes. Mm.
But mine aren't doing that, so there's something not right, or either something about the roses.
Oh, we
changed.
Got Herb on the line here. I just looked up. Herb,
okay.
Go ahead. Herb?
Yes.
Brother Herb. I just looked up and noticed I was ironic. I was looking at my phone at your email and the photos, and then I looked up and you're there. So are you at home, or are you down in Janesville today?
I'm in Janesville.
Oh,
so is that where the plant is?
Yes. Well, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to you.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Rufus, Phil, and maybe even Paul.
Yeah, definitely Paul.
Yeah, I'm in Janesville, and I was or walking, doing some work over at my grandmother's, and this camellia bush is absolutely gorgeous.
It is. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
I have no idea what it is. It's probably 80-plus years, and I figured that I would try again to maybe take a cutting, or because I can't air layer it. And I know Rufus is an expert on camellias, but I was almost afraid to ask him unless he said this was charitable work.
Well, it is certainly Ilia Mazenary. I think it falls within that, Herb. And that is definitely a Professor Sergeant Rufus called it quickly.
I am certainly no expert on camellias, but I don't know of any plant that can give more pleasure, and virtually year-long, if you start with the cycle in the fall, go to japonica, which seems to be a little bit mixed up this year.
And the sinensis, which you can use to make tea.
It's just a fantastic. I've never had one die yet of any disease. I've never sprayed one. I've gotten dozens over the years from Phil. I don't think they have little white flies. I've never seen white flies or anything. And how can you go wrong with a camellia?
Right.
And the only thing Ann Clapp used to talk about was scale.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy to deal
with. I never mess with mine, though. I just let them go.
I don't either.
It usually goes away. I've got Professor Sargents in the yard that are over 60 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old do you think this plant is, Herb?
Oh, it's a good 80 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You've got to get a cutting of
this.
Now, when would now Ann used to say July was the best time to get a cutting from a camellia.
Yeah,
but
you have to do it when the new growth comes out and hardens off just a little bit. You don't want it to be extremely.
It should be pliable. The stem should be pliable?
I would say somewhat.
Somewhat pliable.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want it to totally harden off.
Which group is this that blooms this time of year? I guess
japonica.
Japonicas are supposed to be, but it's all kind of mixed up because the
Sasanquas. Professor Sargent is japonica.
Sasanquas and the sinensis seem to bloom pretty early.
One, you see, it's a beautiful red, and so.
I know it's double.
I'll see if I can look it up.
Yeah, it looks like a.
I like it because you don't see the yellow center. Sometimes the yellow center can be pretty, but that one, when they're double like that, they almost look like a rose.
Or as Gomer Pyle would say, a corsage. looks like a carnation, kind of.
Yep.
Well, I thank you all very much, and it sounds like you all are going to be doing good again this year, and so...
I hope so, Herb, and I hope on February 1st we're going to have a big celebration. Well, I don't know how big it'll be. It'll be big to me and to Phil and the people on the show at Phil Campbell's at Campbell Road Nursery. On February 1st, we're going to do the show from there, and that'll be our 40th anniversary celebration. So
wouldn't we love to have
Herb. We got lots of goodies.
Yeah. Sure. The last time we saw Herb was at Witherspoon Rose Culture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great memory, Mike.
Well, anyway, for some things.
Go on and take care of my 96, 97-year-old mother.
Oh, aww. God bless her.
She wants to go to a meeting, so let me get
All right.
going.
All right.
All right.
Fantastic.
Take care.
Thank you, Herb. Bye-bye. We'll be back with more of The Weekend Gardener straight ahead here on WPTF. We're winding things down a little bit. We only have 45 minutes today. Tar Heels have a basketball game, and pregame starts at 10:30 today, so we miss a half hour. We're going to have Billy Howell on from the State Farmers Market coming up in the next hour. And as we continue to talk camellias and roses, and you really can't go wrong. You definitely can't go wrong with the camellias. The roses can be a little, as they say, picky-unish.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. Some of them.
Tequila Sunrise is not.
Yep.
It's indestructible. I get them all mixed up. That's a
Floribunda.
Floribunda, which are usually easier.
Right.
They're bigger and they don't have the fragrance usually.
Most of the time they don't, and they have more blooms like at the end of the stems.
Right.
Yeah.
But they seem to be the most reliable. So if you want, I hear stories, people really serious about their roses who dig huge holes. I mean, like to China, and then fill them up with organic matter.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 feet by 2 feet or something like that.
My dad's peace rose was actually planted right beside the house. I mean, probably less than 2 feet from the house because it was a climber.
Uh-huh.
And
did you have
he didn't have a trellis.
It just
kind of went up beside the house. But I'm sure it was planted in red clay. He planted it in whatever, he didn't do anything fancy back then. He just dug a hole and planted it.
Well, and when you're planting woody ornamentals, you need to be careful about digging real deep because that soil will settle. And then, if you're planting depth is just so critical, and getting the crown of the plant, at grade level or even a little bit above. And if you dig real deep and you get that soil settling, then that plant's going to settle as well. And then you're going to end up kind of with a little well around and the crown will be too deep, and you're going to have problems in the long run. So you got to be careful about that.
Dr. Shambly, who lived beside me when I was growing up, had a huge rose bed out there, and he must have had 100 pounds
like conditioner.
No, it was
manure. People used to use
No, I mean it was just ground up.
Oh, okay.
Wood, sawdust.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they used to use sawdust.
Yeah, yeah.
On
and
top
I think
of.
They used to use chicken manure, which can be. I remember my dad. Would
yeah,
get
don't get
some
Rufus started about chicken manure.
Yeah, my dad would get
It'll
that
burn
from
things
my,
up.
Yeah, I know it will. You have to be careful.
Got to age
urea.
It.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, sawdust.
Right.
That was popular. You'd see those on beds. Everybody had bed. I don't know if that was good or bad. I don't know about the termites.
Yeah, it's not so much a termite issue. It's a
nitrogen binding issue
with sawdust. It's fine.
So if you cut down a tree, you don't use sawdust, but use as mulch. Always said, especially within the soil down under the root ball.
Yeah, or like if you have a wood shop and you can compost it. Compost it and let it degrade, let it break down, and then it's fine. But don't use it fresh.
Yeah, I just happened to think about that. My dad used to go get sawdust from the old sawdust pile, mm-hmm. which is where we went to pick blackberries and got eaten up by chiggers. But every 4th of July. Yeah. So, but he did get that. I just happened to think about that. And then he would get some of the processed, of course, the old chicken manure out from under the house, the chicken house, and he used those.
Not the house you were living in.
No, okay. The chicken house. My granny's chicken house. Yeah. So that.
That stuff was probably already composted.
It was. Just, yeah. It was. It was old. Yeah. Really old.
Of course,
yeah.
Your dad was smart.
Yeah.
That was gold.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Well, there just wasn't a lot available, so they used use the ground
what
up.
What you have, yep.
Yeah.
Sawdust. Drew is with us, and he has a question about palm trees. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all? Thanks
morning.
For having me.
Going into the palm tree business, huh? Are you down at the coast?
No, we're in actually Bahama, North Carolina, out of Durham.
Well, I have. I don't, Rufus. You have. All of us have. I don't know. Do you have a windmill palm, Paul?
I do
at
not.
At your place, I have one. I have two. Windmill palms, they seem to work pretty well here, and I guess they would in Bahama.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
If do you have any palms, or are you just trying to figure out if you want one or what?
Yeah, no, sir, I do not. I'm with my father, longtime listener, first time caller. We're actually from Florida, and I've actually noticed a lot of our neighbors have palm trees around, and they're actually surviving and living, and I was just curious, you know, before we went out and spent the money on one, is it possible they could survive?
If you put it in a protected place, like the corner of a house, mine has grown from a foot tall to over 25 or 30 feet tall.
Yeah, the windmill palm is what you're looking for, and it's best to plant them probably in late May, June, July, somewhere in sometime when it's warm here, and you can find them. You may have to order them. Phil, do you have them occasionally?
We do. We don't have one right now, but
yeah, I've gotten both of mine from you.
Yes, we will have them.
Of course. I would love to check that out. Thank you so much.
And they are very tropical looking. They have very hairy hides, as they say, the bark. It's kind of interesting.
Well, they're scary, too.
Looks like I rode an elephant one time for Ringling Brothers. It was a promotion thing, and Bill Leslie and several of us rode elephants. And I don't know how I kept from falling off, because there was nothing to hold on to except for this wiry hair right on top of their back. And that's what the windmill palm looks like to me. But they have so much personality. Mine is not in full sun. There's at least one in my neighborhood that's not. There is one in full sun, two of them that I've seen in my neighborhood alone that are in full sun. The Arboretum in Raleigh, I'm sure that the Duke Gardens both have windmill palms growing, and I think they will survive Zone 6 too, which is a little farther north from us. We're in this part. I don't know about Bahama, because there's kind of a demarcation of cold and a little bit warmer between Durham. And there's also a fault between Durham and Raleigh.
We've had every weather in the past week.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
The windmill palm is, take a look at, look it up, and I think that's your best bet.
That's perfect. Thank you. I'll bring some Florida to Bahama. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like. It brings a little bit of our beach. People, they don't grow naturally. In South Carolina, they have the palmetto palm, but they don't really – they may grow in the most southern tip of around Calabash. They may come up there, but most of our coastline in North Carolina doesn't really grow palms.
Now, there's a sable palm.
Yeah, but it's really not a palm.
Native?
Not very cold hardy. You have to really protect those. Now, they will get pretty big down in South Carolina and Georgia and Florida, and they're very pretty. They're kind of, once they, I don't know when they reach, how long it takes them to reach full size. But you can grow those, but they really need protection. They get dieback. I know Phil has carried those too, haven't you, Phil?
Mm-hmm. We have. It says they're hardy to 15 generally. Okay.
But there's one in my neighborhood that the people cover when it starts getting really cold. And they last year or the year before, they lost one, but they planted another one down there, and that thing is almost in full shade. But you go down to Kiowa Island in South Carolina or something, and you know, they're huge, or Charleston. There are a lot of them around. They don't need as much protection, obviously, down there. But you'll find those around. But I think the hardiest is the windmill palm, which is not native to North Carolina.
And
I know what we're going to get.
Yeah, when it blooms. When it blooms, Drew, you'll have about foot-long yellow blooms that look sort of scary.
Are they blooms or seeds?
I don't know. But
they are odd-looking,
they're
Drew.
Interesting.
But it'll take a few years for that to happen. They have to establish.
Okay. I'm very patient, so that'll work.
All right, well, that's good to be patient. Drew, thank you.
Thank you. And my dad, Gordon Baker, he's been a longtime listener. He's with me, and he wanted to say hey, and I just wanted to thank
you. Well, hey, Mr. Baker, how you doing?
I'm good. Enjoy the show so much.
Oh, thank you so much for being a part of it. And
thank you guys for everything y'all do.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Have a good one. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
That's nice.
I love Windmill Palms. They have so much personality, and they work pretty well around here. We'll take a break and be back with more of The Weekend Gardener here on WPTF.